Parshas Vayera is a jam-packed parsha, many different inyanim. The beginning of the parsha we begin with Hachnosas Orchim. Avraham Avinu welcomes the guests. They arrive at his home. By Ye Royal of Hashem Yilodim Amrivu Yoshe Pesal Hoyel Chavayov By Yisin Vayav Yinei Shleish Anoshim three guests. Nitzvimolov Vayar Vayorot Likrosav He runs. Pesach oil by Yishtachu Arzah. We go through a whole long description of all the different things that he does for the guests. Included in those things, the Torah goes to enormous detail. Yukach nom at mayim, wash your feet. Vishonu tachas o'eitz. I'm going to bring for you the pas lechem. Then he says, I'm going to go and bring you shloish se'im kemach soiles lushi v'asi ugois. Bokor, he serves them tongue in chardol.
Tongue and mustard.
Vayag, vayok, vayin chema, cream, v'cholov, milk, v'nabokrasho, osa, v'itlefneim. What is going on here? Why do we need to know all of these details? The Torah is going to tell us, it doesn't tell us how he was dressed. The Torah doesn't tell you such details. And Rashi elaborates every single word. He tells us the difference between kemach and soiles leugois kemach la'amelin shel tabochim l'chasis sakadera v'lishoiv es hazuhamo, to take out the zuhamo. What is the zuhamo? What exactly is the zuhamo? The filth, the bad odor. There's some schmutz they have to suck out of the food. Is it really necessary for the Torah to tell us all this? When you go to a guest, they're going to tell you, in the kitchen before you came, the pot, there was a little dirt in the pot, and we scrubbed it with steel wool to make the pot perfectly clean. And then when we prepared the dish, there was something that wasn't proper, so we sucked out this. I mean, what's going on over here? We have to know the menu. He served tongue. Who says they like tongue? Maybe they wanted pastrami. Maybe they wanted, pizza. I don't know,
Maybe they wanted
pizza. What is going on? Why is there so much attention to detail regarding the menu, regarding all of the details of wash your feet? It's overkill. We're brainwashed. We read the parasha every year, so we just, take it for granted. But if you stop and think about it, the Torah does not provide too many details. Some of the most important things in the basic Yesodos of Yadlis, there are no details. There's just a beer. A remez is a hint, a word, a pasuk. Here there is an overkill in the details of what exactly Avram did to prepare for this meal. So this bothers me. I'll tell you what else bothers me. When you go to a guest, if you ever eat out at home, if you ever eat out, when you bench, you're supposed to say a Yehi Ratzon loud and clear. Okay, today it's more popular because only they print it now on the benchers, but it used to be, in the bencher, there's a basic harachmon, harachmon who yivorech es balabayis hazeh, yes, ba'ala sabayis hazeh. It's not so often you in Chazal you mention women. Okay, here's one of the few places that you actually give a yashikoyach to the hostess. The ba'alas habayis hazeh, so they do everything. They carry sabayis. How often do you find in kol kvud basmel panim? You don't know too often in Chazal, in our nusach, focus on women. Women is not something which is kol kvud basmel panim. Yet in benching you say ba'ala sabayis hazeh. You give her high credit.
Who was that? That was Yeshua.
This is a modern nusach. This is a new nusach. Who wrote this harachamon? This harachamon is something which is new. And by the way, this is an aside. When you say the berushus balabayis hazeh, you don't ever say berushus baalas habayis. That is totally no. What do you mean totally do? No, you never do. The only reason why you say berushus is because the one that's supposed to bench is the kohen, or really the balabayis. Really, it's his house. He's the one that is supposed to bench. If the balabayis goes and gives you to bench, you only say berushus the person who would have otherwise benched. If I would not bench, lead the benching, who would lead the benching? The balabayis. Would the Ba'alas HaBayis lead the benching? Never. Never. So you don't have to go say Bereshus Ba'alas HaBayis HaZeh.
10 women benching, 10 women eating.
So amongst themselves, even 3 women eating. Okay, but they don't do it. Today the minhag is they don't do it. Today you don't find women doing it, even if they have 10 women or 3 women, not 10, but 3 women. But if you're at a meal and there are, it's not serious that if you're at a meal with women that a woman will lead the benching, you don't do that. So the only time you say bereshus of a woman, you know, the only reason why you say bereshus is because I'm not the one that should be benching. Someone else should be benching. Bereshus the Kohen, yes, that's why you don't say Bereshus the Levi, because the Levi has no kedima to bench. There's no kedima. So when you come to a meal and they give you to bench, there you really it's not you yours to bench. The one that really should be benching is the Baal HaBayis. He is Kohen. He's given up what really he is entitled to make the brachos and allow the guests to make the brachos. So you have to ask him Bereshus. But if he would not bench, the wife wouldn't bench. There's no possibility that the Ba'alas HaBayis would bench. So therefore, it's not proper. It's amaratzis to say Bereshus Ba'alas HaBayis HaZeh. It's not for her to bench. You only say Bereshus when I don't deserve this. Someone else should be doing this. They gave it to me. So the very least I have to acknowledge I'm not entitled, and this is a handout, and this is a gift. They're giving me the benching, so I have to say thank you to the person who would otherwise be entitled to bench. If there are Kohanim present, I don't deserve to bench, the Kohanim should be benching. So I have to ask Rishus from the Kohanim. But the Ba'alas HaBayis, she never would bench, so if I don't have to ask Rishus from her, because she anyway would bench. It's not a matter of respect, it's a matter of halacha. When do you want to thank the Ba'alas HaBayis? Oh, then that's in the harachamons.
Do you have to physically ask the Kohanim?
That's
you benching.
What?
Obviously, the Baal HaBayis gave you the benching. But the Kayin, he says, and he was just bypassed. But he was saying,
he's entitled to it.
He's because the Baal HaBayis should have asked the Kayin to bench.
Does he have to physically ask them?
No, he doesn't have to. It's all assumed. It all goes together. All right, it's not our main point. The point over here is you say this harachman. Now, however, the harachman that's in the nusach of our Siddurim is a short version, which is not in the Gemara. The Gemara has a much more elaborate nusach. And today it's printed, in the Mishneh Berurah brings it down, and it's printed today in many Siddurim and in many benchers. Yehiratzon, in the middle of Yehiratzon, Shlo Yevoish, Velo Yikolein. They should not be, it's a very strange nusach. That the host should not be put to shame. Shlo yevosh, v'lo yikolem, bal habayis hazeh, this bal habayis, lo yevoylam hazeh, v'lo yevoylam haba, v'yatzliach b'chol nechosav, should be successful in his assets, v'yu nechosav mutzlochim, u'kroivim lo yir, v'al yishleit sotim b'masa yadav, and look at this, really funny, v'al yizdakek l'funav shum dvar chet, he should not sin, the bal habayis should not sin, even a thought of avoin, you almost make it sound like the Baal HaBayis is on the verge of who knows what. I come over here, my Rosh Hashiva invites me to be a guest, and I say, look at him, I say, oh boy, you know, you're done. You're such a big Baal Avera, you're going to be embarrassed in this world and the next world. Don't jump, Rosh Hashiva, don't go tonight to the Washington Bridge to jump. And don't be mahar in chait. I know what you're thinking, Rosh Hashiva. I know you're thinking about Noshim, about the Zara. Who knows? You don't do averis. We don't val yizdake l'shum dvar chait. V'hirers. Avon. I mean, what? And aval yishleit satan. I know the satan is out to get you, Rosh Hashiva. It's so bizarre. If you really think about it, and if you look, this is the short, there's another version which has, and it's really, really, really bizarre. And I'm beginning to wonder, I'm beginning to wonder, maybe that's the reason why for many, many generations, many people print it. Many siddur, many benchers don't even print this. They don't, they don't, you have to search for a bencher to find this, they don't even print it. And it's only been more recent that it's much more popular. It's been reinserted into the Siddur has it, the Arshul Siddur has it, and many, probably I would say at least 60, maybe even 75% of the benchers that they print today have it, but not all. Not every bencher has it. And it is very strange. No, you can't deny it. It's not very, very strange. What's going on over here? So I want to suggest, it's not a full answer, but I want to say this is part of what's going on by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, the Torah is telling you all of these things for a reason. The first thing Avraham Avinu does when the guest comes, when a person helps someone, you're really helping yourself. Shlach lachmecha al pnei hamoyim ki beroiv yamim timsena. Okay, now, it's not a good attitude to go and do chesed to someone else only because you want to do chesed with yourself. You do chesed because you do chesed. If it happens to the Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards you midah keneged midah, it's very nice, right? The pasuk says shlach lachmecha al pnei hamoyim ki beroiv yamim timsena. What you do to someone else will come back. It will return to you. When you're a guest in someone's home, there's a halacha you're supposed to bless, the birchas oireach. The guest is supposed to bless. It's supposed to bless the Baal HaBayis. Some people, the reason why they invite guests is they want the guests to bless them. I know someone that they literally, it's really shocking to me, they literally anticipate, they wait for the benching, they invite someone, they have a nice meal, and the favorite part of the meal is listening to the guests recite the Yehi Ratzon. They stop what they're doing, and they're very quiet, and they listen very carefully, and they answer Amen with a lot of kavana. And there's a lot of truth to that. When you invite a guest in your home, there is something called the Birchas Oireach. That bracha of a guest, we don't appreciate this, but Chazal tell us, has enormous potency. People think you have to go to the big gadol, a makubal, to get a brach. You'll travel, you'll go to a kever, you hear about a kever at the other end of the world, that he promised, if you daven, if you come and you daven, you learn this from, he's going to go and be Paul Yeshua's. Today, the Zer Shimshon became this crazy, outrageous sensation. Nothing wrong with Zer Shimshon, it's a very beautiful sefer. The degree, why? Because the Zer Shimshon, he promised that if someone's going to learn a svarim, he's going to be Paul Yeshua's. And there are many people who claim that great, great miracles happen to them from learning Zera Shimshon. So people today, it's become an industry like I've never seen my whole life, where art school is in the middle of publishing a 10-volume work on Zera Shimshon, Torah that is very difficult, very esoteric, and it's shocking that before you learn Zera Shimshon, do you know Shishi Sidra Mishnah? Do you know Chumash Rashi? Do you know Chumash Rashi? Do you know what parsha? Do you know the parsha of the week? Do you know which parsha is this week? Do you know the Haftarah? Do you know even which sefer you learned the Haftarah from this week? No, I don't know. But Zera Shimshon I know. Why? Because the Zera Shimshon promised someone that he's going to be piled in the Olamo Yeshua for this person. Okay, you know, I'm all for it. Someone I know, somebody calls me, tells me, teaches me, always tells me about Zera Shimshon, and I listen. Okay, but I mean, come on! But there are certain things that Chazal already have told us. You want a bracha? You want a bracha? First of all, help yourself. That's obvious. But even if you want to go past helping yourself, you want to go get help from someone else. There are certain things that are very basic. And number one is. And Chazal gave you those certain basic things. You don't have to necessarily travel to the end of the world. A person whose blessing has potency is a guest. If you host a person and you make his life good, you put him up. Or you put up, or you have an apartment. Hachnosas orchim apartment. And you take away a person's daigus, at least for this, he comes to America for a doctor, and this daigus off his head, he has a place to stay, and then the time comes and he goes home and he leaves, and he gives you a bracha. That bracha is more potent than going to the end of the world and finding people that you never heard of before and going to their kfar. Okay, you can tell me, how do you know? I don't know, but Chazal say, there's something called the bracha of the guest. The bracha of the guest carries enormous weight. Don't make light of it. And when you invite a guest and they say the basic harachman, you can't tell them to make the harachman, but if they happen to say the harachman, harachman, yivarech ezbal habayis hazeh, yezbalas habayis hazeh, Oysom v'yes beisom v'yes zarom v'yes kol asher lohem. Answer amen to that harachamon like your life depends on it. Much, much more so than going to the biggest Rosh Hashiva and waiting online to get a bracha with all your pull and connections to get into a bracha. Because Chazal don't tell you that if you'll go to a big goy, big Rosh Hashiva, and you'll get it, you have to go and have all the pull and pay money, all these crazy things to go in and get a bracha, that bracha has any weight. But this bracha, the Birchas Ha'orach, that has weight. That carries big weight. You gave a person a meal, you came to your house, you spoke to him, you calmed him down, you made his life a little bit pleasant, and now he says the words, Sorachamon hu yivorech esbal habayis hazeh, an ordinary guy. An ordinary guy, no great shakes, no one's coming and bribing the gabbai $1,000 to get me in to get a bracha from him. Guess what? This ordinary guy that you invited to your home, and he says, Sorachamon hu yivorech, is gold.
Where do you see that?
Chazal, the Gemara, Gemara Masechta Brachos, the Birchas Ha'orach. That's why you give benching to the guest. The Chazal said that's the reason why it's the Gemara Masechta Brachos. The reason why you give the benching to a guest is so the guest should bless the Baal HaBayis. This is not really done today because today everyone says Birchas HaMazon. In the olden days, the only one that said Birchas HaMazon was one person. Everyone sat around and twiddled their thumbs, and one person would say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hazon Es Olam, one person, and everyone would answer Amen. Therefore, if you, the Baal HaBayis, will lead the benching, and recite the Birchas HaMazon, then no one's going to bless you. Then no one's going to say, Harachem on Yivarech Es Baal HaBayis Hazeh, because you don't say that about yourself. You do anyway. But that's not the same. That doesn't have the same potency. So instead, in ancient times, when only one person would say the benching and everyone at the table would listen patiently, so if you give the benching to the guest, then that gives the guest the opportunity to bless the host. So therefore, if you're going to take the benching for yourself, which you really would want to do, have the zuchus of the 10 zehuvim, okay, you want to bench, you want to make the blessings yourself. It's a covet for you to bench yourself. Chazal say, you know what, give it away. Give it to the guest, because by giving it to the guest, that enables him to bless you. See, today, it's not really necessary to give the benching to the guest, because today, everyone at the table benches themselves.
And he should also probably say...
What?
He should probably also say, even though he's not reading the benching, he could say...
Exactly, that's today. So that's why today the place can say that there's no real inyan to give the benching to the guest.
But he should say...
Of course he should say. Because since everyone benches on their own, and the Mela, when he's going to bench on his own, he's going to bless you. Right. So it's not really so important. Adra, maybe today that since everyone is benching by themselves, you should not give it up. If you're a serious guy, you want to bench with the kais, you want to do it the right way, you know the halakas, and your guess is not so ay ay ay. So einachanami, bench you lead the benching, and anyway the guest has an obligation, he's going to say the benching himself, and will say the harachamon. And mimeil, what is the musa? The musa is that when he says the harachamon yivarech, es bal habayis hazeh, es bal vies bal ba'alas habayis hazeh, from the Gemara it's mashma, that blessing is heavy duty stuff. You were obligated to give up the benching just that he can bless you. The Birchas Oreach is heavy-duty stuff. And therefore, take it seriously. He doesn't have to be the Gadol Hadar, and no Kol HaTorah Kula. And when he says this blessing, stop. Stop, pay attention, listen what he says, and answer Amen. And you should know the more that you'll stop and listen to him, the more seriously he'll take it, and he'll say it with kavana. And he is well connected at this moment in time when he gives you a bracha. This is serious stuff. And likewise, the Musa Haskell is that when you go to visit someone, and you're a guest at someone's home, and you make this bracha, rachamon, take it seriously. Give someone a bracha, fargin, yenim. Give him the bracha. Shlach lachimcha, you'll give someone a bracha, you'll also get bracha. It's a very, by eating. When you go. When you go to a guest, okay, when you go to a guest, you have this opportunity. Now, therefore, I want to suggest, I don't want to spend so much time on this, part. I want to suggest that's what it means, that's why over here in this parasha, Avraham Avinu, the Torah goes to town. The Torah goes to town and telling you all of the things that Avraham Avinu did for the guests. You know why? Because everything that Avraham Avinu did to the guest is gonna be boomerang. The guest will bless Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, he serves them tongue. Why is he serving them tongue? Because when the meal is over, the tongue of the guest will praise and bless Avraham, or will bless Hashem. Avraham Avinu is taking this, everything he's doing is symbolic. Wash your feet. I'm giving you water. Why? I don't want you to be embarrassed. Have a hirur chet. That's what the nusach is. The nusach is, I don't want you to be put to shame in the next world. If you have, you come into my home and you have dust on your feet that you worship, you're going to be put to shame because the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina will be revealed and you're going to be caught holding in your feet garbage, dust, avodah zarah. You're going to be put to shame in this world and in the next world. Let's get rid of the dust. Let me prevent you from being maharher in chet. If you're sitting in my table and you're looking at the dust on your feet that you worship, you're being maharher in chet. Let's clean you from your avodah zarah before you come into the house. Let me serve you tongue, because the goal of this is that the end of your tongue should be spiced up with some delicious mustard, and your tongue should bring forth words of praise, of shevach to Hashem, and a blessing to me as well, and my family, and Sarah. And indeed, isn't that what the end was? What do they say? Their tongues said, Hinei vein l'sara ishtecha. Amar Avinu, by giving them a tongue with mustard, it boomeranged, and the tongue of the Malach said, Hinei vein l'sara ishtecha. Okay, and Amar Avinu, what did he do? He tells that he removed the zuhama. He pulled out the filth. This is like the machshavas. He wasn't just satisfied. He put the solus to pull out. When a guest comes into, everything is symbolic. When a guest comes to your home, lighten up their tongue. Pull out of their life the zuama, the filth. People that are very depressed have a lot of problems. They come to you to sit down at the table. Let them talk. Give them therapy. Let's be shoyev from these people, the zuhama, the bitterness of life. Lighten up the mood. Everyone has experienced this. You've experienced when you're a guest, people go away, they go to a Shabbaton, they go here, they go there. They go, they sit down with their friends, and they just shoot the breeze. And it's therapeutic. You shoyev the zuhama. A person who's a Talmud Chacham has talent in getting, cleaning the dust off their feet, the Avodah Zarah, the Hashkafos Rois, to be removed from them, Hirur Chet V'Avoin. You change their Koyach HaDibur, the tongue with Chardol, Yeshoyev the Zuhama. Every single thing over here that's been mentioned over here in Achnos HaSorchim, it's not the food. These are symbolic actions. These are things that are, what is the goal of Achnosas Orchim? The goal of Achnosas Orchim is therapy. Be, even though you don't have a degree, you have enough knowledge. You don't need to be a PhD in psychology in order to provide therapy for your Shabbos guests. Do the best that you can with the knowledge and talent that you have, and you'll be shocked to see. Sometimes you can even do better than a doctor who charges $800 an hour.
What about the fact that the Orchim were going?
Doesn't matter. Adarabba. Adarabba. What's
interesting. What,
Adarabba, you provide therapy for them
you
as well.
Give them
I was with Rabbi Shaila, the Kedestir. He had an enormous number of non-Jews who came to him. Today you would never hear such a thing. You hear about a Rebbe going to Rebbe, a guy goes to Chaim Kanievsky. You never heard of such a story. I'm sure there are.
Politicians.
Yeah, so they want something, but you ever hear Stam going to a big rabbi? You don't hear this thing today. They Rebbe Shailabi Karasteri, they have a whole chat. How many going? Non-stop going from all over the whole Hungary came to him for their problems, Stam problems. He was the miracle rabbi. They came to him. Goyim also come. Goyim, you also have a cheder. It's also in the selim elokim. Today we live in a world of politics. Everything is political. It's not really shy holy. They come just for photo ops. But yeah. Okay, that's one of it. Let's now go to another quick idea.
On that point, is he served tongues and he gave a whole tongue to each one of them. And I saw that we learned from this that by Hafnosis Arfa, there's no such a thing as wasting food. That you can give up, even you know that it's not going to be finished.
Maybe they pack it up, like in the restaurant.
Pack it up.
Pack it up. It's an Erev. It was an Erev.
There was no wasting food.
Okay.
You can serve. You serve, I believe, that.
Well, you have to be very wealthy, you know. I mean, three tongues. How much does a tongue cost today? $70?
$22 a pound.
A pound.
That's all.
A pound.
How much a whole tongue cost? You go buy a whole tongue.
In Eretz Yisrael,
$70.
$70. Okay, $70 a tongue. That's a lot of money. Okay.
Interesting. It's cheaper. In
three tongues. Three whole tongues. That's massive. Okay, now let's go to another part. Over here, there's an interesting rash.
Rash. Feeding a person also is a very big schus. They say Yishum Lagima. You know, like maybe Yisro.
You change your whole attitude. True, yeah, it's a big thing. Yeah. Food is a big thing. Okay. Now let's go to another quick video.
You also mentioned about politicians, and Bibi became the prime minister. Bibi, my brother was in the room with the Adam Gadol, whatever, and Bibi came to get a bracha. It was before one of the prior elections, and he calls my brother. He says, "I want you to sit here when he comes in," and he's promising from today till tomorrow the world. For the yeshiva, for the bison, for everything. And this gadol, there's a gadol, Olam Hashalom, turned to him, he says, Atashakran, and called him out right there on the spot, and he said it to him loud and clear, Atashakran, you're not going to do anything. You want a bracha, I'll give you a bracha, but don't give me all the promises.
Okay, politics. Yeah. Okay, let's go further. Okay, I want to cover a few things, some ideas. Over here, Rashi says that Avraham Avinu prayed for the people of Sodom. He prayed for them. Rashi's, we know this is a very elaborate prayer. So this is a deacon Rashi, a very elaborate prayer. 50 people, 40 people, 30 people, 20 people. Rashi, the whole calculation, there's a whole aliyah. It's incredible, the prayer. Rashi summarizes the entire thing in three words. In the beginning of the story, when Avraham Avinu, when Hashem, will I hide from Avraham what I'm going to do? So it says, Vayigash Elof. Avraham Avinu approached Hashem. Rashi summarizes the entire Aliyah in three words. Okay, Vayigash Avraham Motzinu Hagosha Limulchama. Then he goes Hagosha Lupius and Hagosha Litfila. Ulchol Eled Nichnas Avraham Ledaber Koshois. Ulipius ulitzila. Rashi here summarizes this very long aliyah, three words. Ledaber, four words. Ledaber koshas, two words. Ulipius ulitzila. And from this, we can actually learn from combining what Rashi says with what happens, the precise translation, well, not the precise, but a more of a flavor of what exactly these words mean. Koshos, pius, and tzviwa. First thing Avram does is, Vayigash Avram Ayom, and he says, Hitaka says very harsh words. Koshos. Ha'af tispe, tzadik im rasha. Ribayin shalaylam. The tone of Avram Avinu was, what are you doing? You're going to wipe out a whole country? Is your anger going to wipe away the tzadik im rasha? Maybe it might be tzadikim. Ha'af tispev v'loy sisa l'amokim. You're not going to forgive them. You're not going to forgive. Cholim l'cha. Me'asoyes kadavar hazeh. L'chomis. Tzadikim rasha. V'hoye tzadik ha'rasha. Cholim l'loch. Ha'shoyfei kol ha'aretz. Lo yaseh mishpat. koshos. This is the tone of the Baal Kriya has to be milchama. Ribbono shel Olam, what are you doing? Yeah, pardon the expression. Are you out of your mind? What are you doing? You grab Hashem by the lapels. What are you doing? Chalila lecha, chalila lecha. How could you do this? Hashem says, sorry, buddy. Nothing I can do for these people. Okay? That didn't work. Milchama didn't work. Phase two. Pius. What is pius? How are you mefaya someone? How would you go? You go to the dictionary, the Oxford unabridged dictionary of appeasement. Of ask every head of state. This would be a very good test. To ask every head of state who has a brain in their head, because most don't, ask them to define, to translate the word appeasement. How are you mefayis?
Let's make a deal.
How are you mefayis? So now we go to part two. Part two, this is called pius. Vayan, it didn't work because Hashem says, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do anything too bad. Now we go to phase two. Pius. Vayan Avraham vayoymar. Hine noho alti lidaber el Hashem. Three words. V'yonochi ofar v'efer. You know what pius means? When you make a request, demonstrate, I'm a nobody. Humble yourself. It's only here, in this part of the story, does Avraham humble himself. In phase one, Avraham was not humble. He was mechutzef. He said with intensity, how dare you do this? Hashoyfet kol oritz lo yase mishpat. Avraham wasn't humble. When that didn't work, when the divrei koshos didn't work, Avraham Avinu changed gears. V'yonochi ofar v'efer. Ulai. Look at that word. Maybe, ulai.
Let's negotiate.
Ulai yachsru nechamishim atzadikim hachamisha asashkes habachamisha eskol ho'ir v'yomer lo yashkes Hashem fine. Nochamol.
Let's make a deal.
Nochamol, ulai. We're continuing. The 30 is a continuation. Ulai yimotzum shema bo'am v'lom v'yomer lo yashkes habachamisha. That's it. That's phase two. It's anoichi ofar v'efer ulai. Didn't work. Now we come to phase three, tefillah. Tefillah's prayer. Prayer, you don't have to necessarily humble yourself. You don't humble yourself when you pray. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's certain understanding. But you don't have to overdo it. And you don't talk with chutzpah. Vayoymer, and he said, Al no yichar la Hashem. I'm sorry, there's still an ulai over here. Wait, is there an ulai? I didn't really finish this part. But there's definitely a change somewhere along the line. And we're now transitioning into tefillah. In the beginning, there's no question, the first negotiation was koshos, milchama. When you're saying the anoichi ofar v'efer, that's an expression of humility. Could be all of the rest, they're all pretty much the same. And they're just plain, simple prayer, tefillah. Ulai, that's the ulai. The only number 40 was it, v'yonochi ofar v'efer. All of the rest, ulai yachshin chanishim. V'yomel d'vizel level, ulai yimotsun shamar boim. Next, v'yomel hinein alti l'abel, ulai yimotsun sham esra. They're all pretty much the same. Three different phases. First phase is Hashoyfeit Kol Ha'aretz Lo Yaseh Mishpat Chalila Lach. Second phase, Ribbono Shel Olam V'Anochi Ofar V'Efer. That's pius, and when that didn't work, we now go down the path of plain, simple tefillah. We make a request. We make a request. I want to suggest that in davening we do the same thing. Davening, there are three parts to davening. There are many parts to davening. You break up davening into multiple parts. You start off with Psukei de Zimra. And then you go to Birchos Kriya Shema. And then you go to Shemone Esra. Psukei de Zimra is Divrei Koshos. Divrei Koshos. You praise Hashem as if you're saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, look how great you are. Hashofet Kol Haaretz. There is an expression, there is an attitude. I don't know if what I'm saying is correct, but it's an idea. This you can't deny. Okay, we have this Rashi. Rashi says, Divrei Koshos, Vayigash, three expressions are in Yigash. Koshos, Pius, and Tefillah. I think it's fair to break down the prayer of Avram into three parts. The first part is clearly Koshos. The second part is unique, where he says, V'yanochi ofavo efer. And the third part, the rest of the prayer, is pretty much kimat the same. There are little nuances, but kimat the same. Ulai yesh, ulai, tefillah. When you dive in, the first part of that in Suki de Zimra, okay, we have to analyze if it's, I'm saying it's correct, but I want to try to suggest, is it's a statement of fact. Ribbono Shel Olam, you own this world. Hallelujah. We praise Hashem by telling him. We don't make requests in the Pesukei de Zimra. In the Pesukei de Zimra, it's a statement of fact. Ribbono Shel Olam, you rule this world, you own this world, you do everything to this world, you have full power. And the Mela, you know, step up to the plate and give us what we need. Poseach es yodecha, you open up your hand, umaspiel l'chol chai ratzon. This is a statement of fact, and we expect no different for us. It's koshos. And then we come to Birchos Kriya Shema. The crescendo of Birchos Kriya Shema is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Submission. The Onoichi Ofar Vo'efer. We're nobodies. You're the God, and we're nobodies. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad, know your place. Pius. And then we come to the Shemoneh Esrei, and we ask Hashem, give us this, please. Ato Chonein, Hashiveinu, Slach Lanu, Avinu Kichotanu, Rifo'enu Hashem V'nei Rafei, Hashiva Shevteinu. It is the same pattern. Just like Avraham Avinu established this tefillah, and in this tefillah there are three parts, as Rashi makes it clear, Vayigash, Divrei Koshos, Pius Utzila, in the Nusach of Tzila of every single day, Psukei de Zimra, is Divrei Koshos. We don't say, please Hashem, help us, please. We say, Hashem, you don't have a choice. Paseches Yedecha, Maspil Chochai Ritzon. Hallelujah, with a statement of fact, this is who you are. Hashayfet Kol Aretz Lo Yasem Nishpat. Everything in Psukei de Zimra is a statement of fact. And it is understood, if this is who you are, so of course you're going to go and you're going to support us, you're going to give us everything that we need. If Psukei de Zimra doesn't work, Pius. Birchos Kriya Shema has a flavor of humility, of the Anochi Ofar Ve'efer, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, B'chol Levavecha U'b'chol Nafshecha U'b'chol Miyodecha, Afilu Hu Noitel Es Nishmascha. You have to even be willing to give up your life for Hashem. That's Kriya Shema. V'yohavta eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha. This really, in essence, v'anochi ofar v'efer. I'm willing to give up my life to you. That's the climax of Birchos, and everything else is packaging. Birchos Kriya Shema. And then finally you come to the end. You come to Tzvila. The Shemoyne Esrei. Please give us this. Please give us this.
Requests.
So we want to say that the tefillah is patterned after the revelation of Avram. Okay, let's go to another idea about the malachim. I heard this very recently, made a very big...
It says somewhere, so maybe this, he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he probably prayed it. And it doesn't say anything that, what did he say?
Afterwards, the second time, it doesn't say what he prayed, right? That was the second time around. When he returned back to that Mokum, it doesn't say what he said, that was the second time. But the first time, we go through the three different stages. Correct. Yeah. Okay, now let's go to another idea. We are.
Before you go, for David Cohen, Shila Shita from Will Yavitz, spoke. It'll explain what you were saying. There's different shyness. Like this is like in Pesach of Zion. It says Vayom Avram Vayoma Hinei Alti Gadaber Elosheb Lechi Of Piyefa. So that's like you say that's a Losh of Pius. And then it says Ulayet Through the Chamisha. Then it says Vayosef Oy Gadaber. I think he said you can interpret it. That's already Tfilah.
Oh.
Yosef,
right, that's
called. And then Vayoma, yeah.
And the rest
is Tfilah. And then also says, also, Payalti, Payal. That's again, once again, a Lashon of Pius. And then Vayosef, he adds additional things.
Okay, I want to say that it's in Deir Aaron, and it's all Tfilah. All the expression of Tfilah. Okay, similar. Okay, now let's go to another Yad.
I'm saying with Dabar is Tfilah, Dibur is cautious usually.
Okay, it depends on the context. You know, you can't go say the word. It means a call to a cool. It means one thing. Everything has to be judged in its context. That's a very common. You can never say one word means something everywhere. It's a drush. In this context, Rashi says that. Nah. Vayigash is the three things: milchama, pius, and tefillah. And here Avram spoke divrei koshos, pius, and tefillah. So it's very simple. Just break it up. Break up what he did into three parts. The first part is clearly cautious, beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, but you're saying the rest is not all tefillah.
No. Okay, so don't call me say that. I have to see what he says.
That's like you said, that's really pius. That's not tefillah, that's pius. You know, perhaps you...
Offer of Ofer is pius.
You'll be Mephias.
Offer of Ofer, when you humble yourself.
But then if that's already a tefillah,
right.
Oh, maybe I can add it
right. Three different elements, yes. And that's what we do every single day. Psuke de Zimra is divrei koshos. Kriyashma, Birchus Kriyashma is divrei pius. And Shmoyne Esrei is tefillah. So we have to go right. Let's go to another idea.
Really try to
digest that.
To digest that.
Okay.
You know, what
now I want to talk about the Malachim. Now I want to talk about a new idea. We're going to have a new idea is that this is a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi says that when the angels came to Avraham Avinu, they were called Adnoshim. When they came to Lot, they're described as Malachim. Rashi knows when the angels came to Lot, they called Sarah. Why are they called Sarah? It's a very, very, very difficult Rashi to explain. What's the difference? Rashi, let me just find.
Which Rashi?
Rashi, give me one moment. I'm looking.
And
one moment.
The
okay, we'll call after the show. I'll tell you the previous Rashi. We run out of time. Let's right now do Perek Yutes. Perek Yutes Pasuk Aleph. Vayavo Shnei Hamalochim. Rashi. Perek Yutes Pasuk Aleph. Perek Yutes Pasuk Aleph. Echad L'Hashchus the stomach goes further. Hamalochim. The second Rashi in Perek Yutes Pasuk Aleph. Ulehalon kiro'om anoshim. By Avraham, these creatures were called men, and here they are called angels. Why are these same individuals by Avraham called angels, and why are they called malachim by Lot? So he says something very surprising. Kishahoyso shchina imohem kiro'om anoshim. What does that mean?
Everything's relative.
What does that mean? When these people, when the angels were by Avraham, they're called men, mortals. Dover Acher.
Relative to the Shechina, they were.
Dover Acher. Relative to the angels, the Shechina, you're saying it's relative. Okay, he's saying an idea. And Mordechai is saying a very profound idea is that relative to the Shechina, they're mortals. Okay, that's a very interesting idea. I want to say something a little different in a moment. Dover Acher, Eitzel Avraham Koichoi Godol V'hoyu Hamalachim Tedidim Etzloi Ka'anoshim. Therefore, they were there Etzloi Ka'anoshim. So, I think what you were saying was the second shot is that relative to Avraham Avinu Koichoi Godol all were nobodies. They were like Anoshim. But Eitzel Lot, oh, we're big machers because Lot is a nobody in our eyes, so they're called Malachim. Okay, I think Rav Mordechai, you're saying the second shot. That when it came to Avraham Avinu, then Avraham was so much greater than the angels. So relative to the Avraham, they're called Anoshim. You can really say the same thing by the first, where Rav Mordechai in the first thing also by relative to the Shechina. Let me just tell you a different idea. I think this is a famous thing. I think I heard this many years ago, but I heard it again very recently, and it really shook me up. So I was actually by a base oval. The oval told this to me. He said there was a child that asked. There was a very big gadol, a very great gadol, who came to test. Inspiration came to the class, and there was a child, and the child asked what appeared to be a very funny question. To the gadol, whoever this gadol was. He told me the name of all the people. To me, I don't know who these names are. And he said, you know, we learned in yeshiva that you're not allowed to take a sefer into the Beis HaKiseh. That's what they taught us in yeshiva. A little kid asked us, you're not allowed to take, a sefer. We learned about the Rambam. There's a sefer, they showed us the sefer called the Rambam. Okay, the sefer is the Rambam, Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam wrote the Sefer, and we're not allowed to take it into the Beis HaKiseh because it's a holy Sefer. The Rambam wrote. He wrote his Svarim. So my question is, how then was the Rambam himself allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh? If the person, this is a child, think this is the mind of a child, if the Rambam wrote a book, and you're not allowed to take the book into the Beis HaKiseh, so the Rambam is greater than the book, because the Rambam wrote the book. So how is the Rambam himself allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh? Okay, it takes a child to ask this question.
I ain't done an actually by the EF.
Okay? It's a good question. What?
We call another gadol here. He's a walking sefer Torah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So how is the Rambam allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh? So the gadol was stumped.
It's impossible.
The gadol. Okay, but it's a good. Okay, this is a child. Right? So what? Everyone knows the answer, but you need to put the answer in words. Okay, it's what everyone in their mind understands that it's not such a question, right? But I challenge you to articulate why it's not a question. There are many things in life. Okay, it's not a kasha, but it's a talent to articulate why it's not a kasha, and to do it in the shortest number of words. Oh, Yamush got very, very close. Kiss b'soich kiss. Are you allowed to take a sefer into a bathroom? No. If you wrap it up in a covering, are you allowed to take it? You're still not allowed to take it. But if you wrap in a double covering, it's called kiss besoich kiss, and then it's permitted. Some say that the cover of a book is the kiss number one. Some argue that the cover is the kiss number one. The book is not just loose, open paper. There's already a kiss with a cover, and you just put the sefer in a wrapping. Kiss, besoich kiss. If you don't like that, so do another kiss. Okay, it has to be a kiss that's not miyuchid. It's not designated for this purpose. You take a shopping bag, you take a Glatmart bag, and a pomegranate bag. And two plastic bags, if you can still get them. It's not illegal. It's contraband to have a plastic bag today. But if you can find a plastic bag, a kiss, besoich kiss. The Rambam hid his greatness. The Rambam, it's true, the Rambam is the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a book, and the book is sacred. But the Rambam himself, if you would see the Rambam walking down the street, you would never know that this is the Rambam. That's the same about the Chavetz Chaim. I told this many, many times. Someone who saw, this generation who saw, he died, this person, a long time ago, and his grandchildren asked him, tell us, what was it like to see the Chavetz Chaim? So he said something that's so profound. He says, if you would not know that this was the Chavetz Chaim, you would not give him a second look. You would think it's some old man in a park bench. You would never give him a second look. But when you know that this is the Chofetz Chaim, you look carefully, every little thing that he does, mole chochma, mole toira, mole yirashamayim. But you would never know. If you wouldn't know that this is the Chofetz Chaim, you wouldn't give him. He was able to hide himself, to hide his greatness. The Rambam is the Rambam. But the Rambam hid his greatness. He was a kiss besoich kiss. And if you take your kedusha and you cover with two wrappings, you can go into the Beis HaKiseh. It's a clever way to answer a question which is an obvious, obviously we all know that it's not a problem, but try to articulate why it's not a problem. And it's a brilliant analogy. The Rambam was a kiss, the Sech kiss. That's shot in this Rashi. Rashi says, Avraham, when the Malachim came, when the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu, they're called Anoshim. When they come to Lot, they're called Malachim. What's the chilek? When they come to Avraham Avinu, they're coming into a bayis, Molei Kedusha. They're coming to the place of the Shechina. They're coming to the place of the Shechina, Avraham Avinu. The greater you are, the more you conceal yourself. When you're in an environment of Kedusha, an environment of Kedusha creates a mitzias of hatsnea lechesim elokech. When you're in an environment of Kedusha, the greater a person is, the more they conceal themselves. People that are not as great, they need to show off, and they need to shuckle, and they need to, you know, let the whole world know how great you are. The greater you are, the more you enter into a world of kiss, besoich kiss. When the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu, they were so overwhelmed with the Shechina. It was the Makom of Hashuas Hashechina, the tent of Avraham Avinu. The Shechina, the Malachim elevated themselves to a higher Madrega, where they were like the Ramban. They were a kiss, besoich kiss. But when you come to a place of fakers,
why would you call that Noshim?
What? That's exactly the point. Because they conceal themselves. They conceal them like they're Anoshim. You would never know.
Who concealed themselves?
The angels, yes, the angels. The angels elevated themselves to a higher level when they're in the presence of Shechina. When you are in an environment of greatness, you become great. It rubs off on you, even on the Malachim. And the Malachim were able to elevate, the Malachim are very great. But when a Malach can also grow, even though we say, but
you're saying they elevated themselves to a lower status of Anoshim. You're putting them down by calling him
Anoshim. No, Adarabba, a Malach that's called an Enosh is the greater Madrega. The greater you are, the more you conceal. Tachlis idea sheneida shaloi neida. The greater you are, the more you conceal yourself. That's a mitzias. That's a reality. You'll appreciate that. You don't have to go show off. If you got the real deal, you don't need to go show off. You don't need to impress anyone. A person that has the real thing has inner peace, inner serenity. You don't need to go show off. When the Malachim were in the presence of the Shechina, they grew. I know you're telling Malachim, don't go higher. You have to understand what that means in the context. But when the Malachim were in the presence of the Shechina, they feel at home now. This is where we are. Ah, we don't need to show off. We don't need. We can adorable. We can be like the Ramban. A kiss, the Sech kiss. So to an observer, Anoshim. If you wouldn't know he was the Chofetz Chaim, you would think he's just an old man walking down the street. He didn't go to show up, no ears. But when they come to Lot, a Mokom of Tuma, everyone there's a show off. Everyone's a manuvel. There, the whole environment is, what do you got? What kind of suit you wearing? What kind of hat you have? What kind of watch you wearing? So the Malachim are affected by this. You know who we are? We're Malachim. You're a bunch of lowlifes. We're Malachim. When you're in an environment of lowlifes, it affects you. If you're in a place where everything is chitzonius. It's all a matter of your resume. Everything is externalities. Then it affects the Malachim. Look, we know that the Malachim were affected. What does it say in the beginning of the Pukum Shereshis? That there were people who came down from Shemayim and they saw that the Benois, they liked the Nephilim. The Nephilim were angels who came out of heaven and they saw some young ladies, some young women, and they were attracted to them. And they became Megushim. The Malachim became Megushim. Malachim are very much affected by Gashmius, the Ferish Apostle. The Malachim, they saw to Toivois, Benois Elokim, and they decided to live with these women and they stayed on this earth. What are these Malachim doing here with women? The answer is, if you live in a place of Gashmius, it can destroy you, it can even destroy a Malach. When the Malachim came to stone, what did they say? Ki mashchisim anachnu. We're the balabos. What? What do you mean you're the, they were punished for that? What do you mean you're the balabos? You're nothing. You're just an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, when you go to a country where everyone the whole day walks around and says how great they are, it rubs off on you. You also have to go show how great you are. Ki mashchisim anachnu. It says in the beginning of Rashi, it says that Malachim, it says in the sixth parasha, the beginning of parasha, that the Yetzirah is not shoylet aleihem. It doesn't say they don't have a Yetzirah. The only difference between a Malach and a human being is a human being, the Yetzirah is shoylet on a human being. A Malach starts out with a Yetzirah is not shoylet, but a Malach also has a Yetzirah. A human being, ki yetzer leiv ha'odam ra min uruf. A human being, the yetzer hara is shoylet. The goal of life is to break away. A malach has a yetzer hara. The only chilek is the starting point is the yetzer hara is not shoylet, but it's there. How do you know the yetzer hara is there? I'll give you a few proof. It's getting gracious. The Nephilim, they came down into this world. Vayar ki b'nois haris toivas. They married them. They got ensnared. They were seduced by human beings, by Noshim, and they became Megushim. In this week's parasha, the Malach says, Ki mashchisim anachnu. We're the ones who are going to destroy. How dare you say that? You're just a Malach. They were affected by the contamination of the country they came to visit. It was a place, Sodom is not Sodom for nothing. Anoshim chatohim v'rohim l'Hashem me'oid. They were affected by the place of Sodom. Menela, when they came to Sodom, ha-ha, we're Malachim. We're special. We're from the Hechera mention. We sit at the Mizrach. The Malachim sat at the Mizrach when they came to Shul in Sodom. Yeah?
Can you just say that when I'm with Avraham, I don't have to elevate, I don't have to be anything good.
That's one pshat. It's two pashat shots.
But when I'm in Sodom,
that's the pashat shot.
When I'm in Sodom, I gotta remember that I'm a Malach.
That's the pashat. Okay, one last ha'ara. I want to make a ha'ara. Last ha'ara. We learned there's a lot of stuff about the Akedah. The Akedah, we have a very beautiful haftarah. The haftarah is jam packed. It's like unbelievable what goes on in the haftarah with the Isha Hashunamis. The Isha Hashunamis had a child, miraculously gave birth to a child. And after the child was born, what happened? What happened after the child was born? The child died. The child, Roishi, Roishi, bring the child to his mother. He sat on her lap until the afternoon and he died. It says he died mace. She put him on the bed of Elisha. She ran to Elisha and she said, didn't I tell you not to do this to me? And Elisha went, he came back, and he was Mechaya mace. The last words of the pasuk are "Vatisas of the after Vatisa es bina vateitse." She picked up her child, and she left. She walked out. She lived happily ever after. Mm-hmm. A barren woman starts out with nothing. Ish ubein ein lo, nothing. And the end of the story, "Vatisa es bina." She had a child. It didn't go easy. The child died. Back to Elisha, Tchias HaNesim, Vatisa Espino Vateitse. Let's go to the parasha. We have a woman by the name of Sara Imein. Same situation. She has nothing. Nothing. Vahashem Pokad Esara Kasher Omar. She has a child. Wow. Just like Ishnas. And then what happens? No more. The child is going to die. Bring him to the Akedah. They brought him to the Akedah. Kimat, he died. Did he die? Not die, all these midrashim. Kimat, al tishach lo kalanar. Kimat died. The very last moment, a miracle. Al tishach yaducha. Tchias ha-mesin, as close as it gets. What happened to Sarah? What's the end of the parasha?
She dies.
Next week is the funeral. This week she dies. The end of the parasha, you say Kaddish. Yiskadal v'yiskadash. You say Kaddish at the end of the parasha? On Sarah. When the parasha is over, at the very end of the parasha, you learn about the Yichus Rivka. But then when you finish the parsha, right, the last pasuk is as gachal yesachas yesmacha yiskadali yiskadash neraba. Who? Sarah dies. Kimat, because Rashi next week's parsha says when she heard what happened, parcha nishmasa. How could it be? How could it be that the Isha Hashunam is feared better than Sarah? Two stories, very similar. Two stories, both of them involve great women who had no children, miraculously was zeicha to a child. The child was basically taken out of this world. The Isha Hashunamis child died. Yitzhak was taken to the Akedah. And then there was a comeback. There was a comeback. They both came back. And at the end of the parasha, there's no man, there's quiet, straight quiet. But we know what happened at the end of the parasha. Rashi tells us, beginning of next week's parasha, because next week's parasha, Vayu Yichayei Sara. That means in between the end of the parasha, silently she died. From the shock. Okay, from the shock, she dies. And what's the Haftorah? A parasha Svayera? What's that, the Haftorah parasha Svayera? Vatovo Valtipol Al Ragla Vatishtachu Arzah. Fatisa Espinova Tate. She lives happily ever after with the child. Are you talking? What's the difference? I don't have a good answer. Okay, I'm not the person to say an answer. I want to make one ha'ara. Chazal say that the Maisei Bnei Adam are more beautiful than the Maisei of Hashem. Hashem made a barren world. Hashem created the Shemayim Varetz. At the end of the Bria, what was there in this world? Nothing. Nothing. Hashem made man naked. Man has to make clothing. Man has to build a house. You have to plant. You have to work the land. You go into the bakery. It's impressive. Beautiful piece of bread. Challahs, delicacies. Gemara says, this is not my bar. The Gemara says that Adam, Hashem gave man the power to be a partner with Hashem, and in a way Hashem gave men the opportunity to do things that Hashem did not do. Hashem created an incredible world of potential. Bris Mila, man is mashlim, the Bria, by doing Bris Mila, Hashem created the world in such a way where Hashem created everything, but yet gave man the satisfaction of being able to do something that in one dimension is more magnificent than what Hashem can do. And this is Chazal. The world is barren. People build beautiful buildings and structures. They build, they create, and they do things that are just mind-boggling. Everything, of course, comes straight from Hashem. The science, the koyach, is all there. In this week's parasha, there's a very big difference. Who created this child? In the story of Avram and Sarah, it was Hashem. Hashem said, Sarah, you know, you deserve a child. I'm going to give you a child. Hashem sends a malach, the beginning of the parasha brings up. But are you calling me Hashem Dover? And she had a child. She enjoyed him for 37 years. In the Haftorah, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in the picture. He's not part of the picture. There is a woman, she has a house, there's a tzaddik, he comes and makes his rounds, and she says, you know, let's do chesed. Let's go make an apartment, achnosas orchim apartment for him. She makes achnos orchim apartment, and Elisha, on his own, he says, we gotta thank her. We have to be makir toiv. What could we do for her? Gehazi says, you know, she's an Akara. Huh? It's an Akara? How come no one told me? Call her. I'm a Rebbe. I'm a Grois Rebbe. I give brachas. I'm even bigger than Rebbe Shaila. And even bigger than Meirat. I give brachas. You're going to have a child. She has a child. And the child dies. The woman is a Tzibrach and a woman. So by Avraham and Sarah, what happens when you're tzibrachim? It's over. Elisha says, I'm not the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm a human being. Hashem gave me even more koyach. just like a person is mashlim the bria, a person can go where Hashem did not go. That everything, of course, comes from Hashem. I went and I promised this woman a child. She's having a child no matter what. I'll be Mechaya Mason. When a person does something in this world, he's able to create a koyach that's even more than what the Ribbono Shel Olam can do. Kavi Yochel. That has to be very carefully expressed. And the proof is, you can't deny. You can't deny the irony of the end of the parsha is silence. Yiskadal v'yiskadah shnei rabba. And the end of the Haftorah is Fatisa espino vateitze. The Ribbono Shel Olam is yearning for man. Enter into the picture. Be my shutef. And let us go further. Hashem made the world where a human being does not have a bris milah. Avram, it is upon you to be mashlim the tzuras, the tzura, the tzelem Elohim with a veheye samin. Hashem gave Sarah a child. Yiskadal v'yiskadash. But the Haftorah, when a person takes the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connects himself, the hashlama is vateitze. All right, everybody, have a good Shabbos.